Interview with Governor Victor Atiyah at his office in downtown Portland, Oregon. The interviewer for the Oregon Historical Society is Clark Hansen. The date is August 25th, 1993, and this is tape 55, side one. We go now to the 1986 governor's race. Of course, you weren't a candidate then, but did you have any involvement in, first of all, the primary?
No.
Did you have any involvement in the race at all?
Very little, if any, and as a matter of fact, not as much as I wanted. I'm talking now, of course, in the general election, and I've talked to Norma a number of times and said, you know, how can I help? But really, she didn't apparently need my advice.
Was anybody else running in the primary against Norma Paulus?
I can't remember. Must have been some people running in the primary, but I don't remember.
What was your relationship with Norma Paulus like?
Very good.
She'd been Secretary of State
for not
the entire time.
No, but most of the time.
Most of the time.
Yeah. She very good. And we spoke earlier about really allowing her freedom on the audits, and we took her audits seriously. Where many other governors didn't take the Secretary of State's audits very seriously. Mm-hmm. We did. Mm-hmm. And we were on the land board together, worked quite well. Not always agreed, but quite well. I thought very highly of her.
Why don't you think that she sought your advice?
I have no idea. I really don't know. And you know, you wonder about ego, but I tell people, you know, they talk about great races and all the rest, and in my terms, I don't think any candidate really had a better campaign than mine, not just because I was the great candidate, I'm talking about a campaign. Mm-hmm. And when I look back at it, I wasn't supposed to win any of the races that I won. I was supposed to lose them all. I was supposed to lose to Clay Myers. There was really a kind of back and forth in terms of Straub. But Straub, obviously, most people thought he would win. But, you know, I ran into the 1974, the resignation of Nixon, and particularly devastating was the pardoning of Nixon. But anyway, I wasn't supposed to win the primary. There were those who thought McCall was going to win or Roger Martin was going to win, and I'd better get out because Roger won't win, and I'll split the vote, and Tom will get it again. And wasn't supposed to win that, and obviously running against the incumbent governor, you're not supposed to win that. And then in 1982, here was this less than charismatic governor who had already who had called three special sessions at the height of our unemployment against a charismatic Kennedy-type candidate. Wasn't supposed to win that one. So I wonder, why didn't somebody ask me, how come, Vic, how come did you win? You're not supposed to win. So you asked me the question and the answer, I have no idea. I have none whatsoever.
You really don't? You mean you haven't
given it? It's a mystery to me why they say, well,
did you speculate on that? It just seems like it would have been natural that the, what do you think part of it could have been that even though you'd won by a landslide in your re-election, that by this point, because of the sales tax stand, that you're, popularity was lower and
well, there's some popularity, but that had nothing to do with it. I don't have to be high profile. I don't have to go on the stump. I mean, talk to me. How did you win, Vic? You know, that doesn't mean I have to go out in the stump for him. Mm-hmm. If because of favorability is down, okay. I wasn't looking to go make speeches. I was asked to say, let me help you, give you some advice, tell you how to do this, tell you the kinds of things that I think the people would. That where Oregonians I know are, where they are. You know, things like that. But anyway, they didn't.
Before this campaign, what was your relationship with Goldschmidt like? I know we've talked a little bit about it, and I know that it soured. But before he ran for governor.
Neil was 180 degrees from where I was, not just philosophically. And I was a downtown businessman. I saw all this chopped up. I saw the small business people going out of business. And really, Portland downtown hasn't recovered from it. I'd gotten used to listening to what people say, to what they say, not how they say it, to mm-hmm. what they say. And I had long since learned that Neil doesn't say very much. He doesn't says it very well, but he doesn't say very much. So forget that it's Neil. That kind of a politician is not one that that I am particularly favorable to. We were friendly. By that I mean we weren't open enemies by a long way, but and we had, you know, some arguments that I described way back in our tapes about the Mount Hood Freeway, and right. he wanted to give me a little of it, and I says, give me all of it. And that was between assistants, but from him to me back and forth, I mean, we didn't go face to face on it. And so, you know, I wasn't very enchanted with him as a governor, I mean, as a candidate. Then after he became governor, I became even less enchanted and more entrenched in my views in regard to his performance as a governor, beginning with firing everybody, which really was a tragic mistake. If you go in, for example, into any business, let's say he moves into the U.S. Bank as president and chairman of the board, and then he fires everybody at the top. I mean, you don't do that. Now, it isn't a matter of you don't do it because historical. Administratively, you don't do that. You've got all this institutional memory. Now, you can make changes, you know, as you build your own team and you build things up. But he had to almost reinvent government. We had a transition book. I have it. I sent the word out that whoever the governor was, this is during the election, that this is what everybody was supposed to do. Cooperate, do everything that you can, you know, help in every way that you possibly can. We offered, that is just the operation of the governor's office. We offered to help whoever he wanted. This is how you do things. This is, you know, somebody has to open the mail and somebody routes the mail. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm talking about things like that. We're not talking about anything that has any great policy, but just how do you do that? What do you do about extraditions? You know, how do you do that? I offered personally to help the governor, publicly and personally. The only question he ever asked me is, what kind of computers do you have? That's the only question he asked. Well, he had to reinvent everything. He wasted, you know, we sent him to school for two years while he's rebuilding everything he tore apart. Now, forget again that it's Neil Goldschmidt. Anyone, you know, that kind of a person, is not ever going to be my favorite. In this case was Neil, but it could have been mm-hmm. Joe Smith. Mm-hmm. It didn't make any difference. Mm-hmm. That type of thing, I think, this is a waste. It's a waste. If he'd taken, for example, among the things that I lament, if he'd taken economic development, where we had it, how it was positioned, and built on that, God, we would be just gangbusters. No, he just tore it apart. And we really had a good team of people, very knowledgeable. We're well known in both domestically and internationally. So people had to get to learn all over again.
When the campaign started, he made a comment about attacking the dry rot at the top. That angered you, didn't it?
You bet. He was talking about some very, very good, dedicated people. Extremely well equipped. That was grossly unfair. What do you know, if somebody attacks someone that you know and admire and you know are capable and attack them. Obviously, I'm going to be offended.
You referred to him as a demagogue and a bureaucrat basher, and ill-formed and reckless.
Yeah, that's when I was being nice. You know, it's just a terrible thing to do. You shouldn't deal with human beings that way in any event. The other thing, he said he wasn't going to be like the AT administration, he was going to be nonpartisan. And you know what's strange? You say something. He did exactly opposite. Absolutely 180 degrees opposite from that. But everybody said, oh, well, that's good. AT had a very, you know, just crummy, dry rot, totally partisan office. And I know that I didn't. I think way back in our tapes I told you that Straub had on this interest form that people fill out if they're Winston boards and commissions. He had a line on there, you know, your party affiliation. I was offended by that. I didn't reprint stationery till, sometime in July. You have to make a cutoff. Mm-hmm. But we used, you know, Straub letterhead and just typed it out and typed my name in. But on that form, we just threw those all away and printed them up. I wasn't going to have that in there. Mm-hmm. But he says, you know, like, I was highly partisan, he's not going to be. Actually, I was nonpartisan and he was highly partisan, but he said he wasn't going to. You know, I've said many times, he's not my favorite governor.
Why did Norman Paulus lose?
Well, you put it just right. Maybe you didn't realize it. Neil didn't win, she lost. What she actually did is that she let Neil take the initiative away from her. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of advice, you see, that I'm talking about. I told you when I was running in 1982 that I out-campaigned Ted Kulongoski. And one thing you don't want is that let the opponent take the initiative away from you. Well, she let that happen. And that's among the reasons, but that's a pretty significant reason. All of a sudden, that Neil became the aggressor, and she was then now, she had to fight her way into it, where she was the leader. Mm-hmm. And he took the initiative away from her.
He was well behind her for quite a ways.
He was, and he should have stayed that way. But when we start talking about advice, that's the kind of advice that I would have given. I told you earlier again in the tape that I was noted by one of the writers for one of the newspapers, AT is acting like the challenger, and I'm the incumbent. You bet. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the reasons. And she just wasn't getting the kind of good professional advice that she really needed. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I guess she didn't want it. I don't know. It's too bad. She would have made a good. She made a good governor, and she still might make a good governor because she's being speculated rather highly right now. And I would say the odds are pretty good in her favor, and who knows what'll happen, but I think she's broadly respected.
Who, where was she appointed? She was appointed by Goldschmidt after he took office.
Appointed to something. What was it?
Northwest Power Planning? Or huh? Was it the Power Planning Council?
I don't remember now. I don't remember.
In the transition to the Goldschmidt administration, Pat Amadeo left earlier in the year to become a lobbyist for Blue Cross, was it?
No, she went for a lot with a law firm.
Oh, it was Jerry Thompson that went to Blue Cross.
Yeah.
And then in December of 1985, you said that you were going to make certain that your successor would have trouble changing your programs by burying them in the bureaucracy, so that when a new governor comes in, it's going to take them a while to find it.
I'm not going to say that's a misquote. I guess I was thinking more, I don't remember the words I used, but what I really had in mind is that we were institutionalizing, in my view, mm-hmm. Good changes in government. And now what I'm talking about is an attitude of, why are we here? We're here because we're here to serve the people of the state of Oregon. We should respond to them. Mm-hmm. We talked about a whole variety of things. Give them answers. If they're asking for, they're in the wrong office, take a few seconds and be polite about it. Work hard at what you're doing. That's basically, we made reforms in welfare. Nothing was done secretly. I mean, there wasn't any surreptitious in the dark of night kind of thing. So my view was that we then institutionalized, I thought, good government. Mm-hmm. And now back to after he was elected governor, I was amazed at how quickly he dismantled all of that. Mm-hmm. And he did it in so many different ways, part of which he was talking about, I'm not sure, quite sure, but he was campaigning against public employees, which is the wrong thing to do. These are hardworking people. Then all of a sudden they lose their incentive to. He dismantled things. He went back to pre-ATIA, where I think I mentioned earlier that there was no clear direction from the top. So everybody, mm-hmm. out of good conscience, were doing their own thing, but it might contradict somebody else in their same agency. But they were left to their own devices. I was surprised how quickly all that was dismantled. I didn't think it could be done that quickly.
But you were trying to keep that from happening.
I was trying to keep that from happening. I thought government ought to operate to the benefit of the people of the state of Oregon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then towards the end of the transition, the news said that Goldschmidt angered you with a request that the outgoing governor hold off on a host of pending board and commission appointments to let the Democrat choose his own people, particularly the state lottery commission, the state forestry board, the workers' compensation board, and the apprenticeship training council. Did you feel that it was unfair for him to ask you that?
Absolutely. I was going to be governor till the minute his hand went up. No. Until he said, "So help me God." And it was my intention to be governor. I was offended that he even suggested it. We did a lot of that on our own without being asked. That's not the point. The point was that he wanted to become governor before he was governor. And just like when there was a transition with me and Bob Straub, I respected the fact that he was governor up to the last minute. And I was going to be governor up to the last minute.
Had it been Norma Paulus that was assuming that position, it wouldn't have made any difference.
No difference at all. Uh-huh. We get back to my strong views of how things are supposed to run. It's not supposed to run that way. It goes back even right after my reelection when I was telling my agencies, we're going to drive to the finish. We're not going to coast. Well, Vic's on his way out, so we can coast now. There's no way of coasting. We were going to drive to the very end. And I was offended by that.
What were the primary differences between Goldschmidt and Paulus in terms of their views? I mean, they were both considered fairly liberal, weren't they?
Yeah. I think it would be hard to measure the difference between them. in actual philosophical terms. Norma knew more about government than Neil did. She understood how things mostly ran, but not entirely, because her position was as Secretary of State. But still, she did audits, and she had an understanding in that regard. I think it would have been more a matter of who would have administered government a little bit better, and I think that Norma would have. Mm-hmm. I think she would have depended on the skill and made her changes more gradual. Neil comes from the Washington, D.C. version of how you deal with things. You know, when the new administration comes in, the old administration goes out, everybody out. That really hadn't happened before in Oregon, at least to my memory, hadn't happened. Governors had made changes, but they hadn't done it just like Neil did it. I don't think Norma would have done it that way. I should have made changes, but not wholesale immediately like Neil did. So I think it's more in terms of how she would have administered government versus how he would have. I don't think they could have disagreed on too many things philosophically.
Didn't he manage to get a lot of the Eastern Oregon support? Or did Norma Paulus have?
I don't recall. I don't think he did. Uh-huh. See, there's another thing when you mention that. He said out in the middle of nowhere was anywhere outside of Portland or Eugene. In pure political terms, I would have just hammered him to pulp with that. She didn't use it at all. But now that's pure politics there. But that also shows, you know, what was in his mind. Mm-hmm. This was sort of off the cuff. It was in his mind. Anywhere outside of Eugene and Portland is out in the middle of nowhere. Yeah. Well, I don't want to make this an anti-Goldschmidt thing. Yeah, I could cut a 3 or 4 hour tape on that, but. You can tell that I'm not very enamored with it, and it wasn't just by the person named Neil Goldschmidt. It was just the style that I object to.
Well, how did you feel on Inauguration Day there in the Capitol? I mean, I've seen the pictures. I've got it in my file of Goldschmidt there at the podium taking the oath, and you're standing there in the background. And
oh, I did. I was well mentally prepared for that. You know, I'd seen it happen before. I know how it happens. I know how it works. I know that 1 minute you're governor and the next minute you're not. And so I wasn't like some that just cling to it. You know, desperate, somebody had to, like my cold head fingers to get him off that chair. I wasn't that way at all. I was very emotional about leaving people. Said many times then and since that I never for a moment missed the process, but did miss people very much, still do. Had very, very high regards for the people that I worked with. We still have, we just had a reunion of my staff, and included the last couple of times directors of state government. Look forward to that. We like each other, enjoy each other, and are proud of what we did in the period of time we had. But I wasn't, I got emotional, but when I was giving my short address, but it was not an emotion of leaving office. It was an emotional moment, of course, but thinking of all that my family had gone through during that period of time, leaving people, that sort of thing. It's interesting when people, you know, while we were governor, people were certain that we had all the accoutrements of a president. A whole lot of security. We had a mansion, and we had help, and as we of course reviewed, I had one trooper and one relief, and two troopers, but one was relief. Dolores did the cooking. It was all our furniture and our dishes and our silver that was down there. I mean, we had to pack it up and take it down. That's when Dolores actually hurt her knees, and she still suffers from. And you know, they think of this. Well, of course, they think now that you're over, you know, we've got all of these perks. The way I've described it is that I got a ride home. That's what I got. And what we had that day had the number one car. Lon and Daryl wanted to be with us all day. And so after Neil was sworn in, my staff, I went over to the Illy Golf Course, had lunch together. That was our last farewell. And then Lon and Daryl drove Dolores and I home in the number one car. And turned around, went back to Salem. That was it. That's it. Over. Finished. That's it. Actually, saying goodbye to Lon was tough because I'd spent so much time with him. He was a nice young man. Really tough. He just, not many words, well, not hardly any words passed between us. We just kind of shook hands and said goodbye. I don't think we could have said too many words between us at that point. Good man. I ever liked him an awful lot. Well, he's doing well in the state police now. But it wasn't as if I was leaving my chair. Okay, Neil's governor. I'm not governor anymore. I know that. I knew that. You know, I'm mentally prepared for that a long time. That's just the way it goes. And so I had no trauma in that respect. The last, my farewell was a short one, and I wrote it all. I've kept, actually, it all, my scribble notes, and then I dolled it up a little bit more so it could be typed so I could read it. And just my own words, it was brief. That's not, you know, I respect, again, the office of governor. This was not my day, it was his day. And that's appropriate. I would be offended if I beat somebody and then they took an hour to speak. You know, that's just not, it's not their day, it's my day. And it was not my day then, it was Neil's day. But they allowed you some time to say goodbye, so he said goodbye.
Did you look upon that as your last moment in elective politics? Did you realize
that?
Oh,
I knew that. Oh, I knew that ahead of time. Mm-hmm. You know, 28 years in public life is a long time. And I think Dolores was ready for it to end long before 28 years. She was very good at it, but I think I may have told you, I will always remember, oh, I don't know, a couple months after we'd been home. She said, gee, it's nice to be home. And it wasn't that we weren't housed well, it just wasn't our home. You know, we were going to leave it. This is our home. Gee, it's nice to be home. And you know, I'm sure she felt that way. Mm-hmm. So it's tough. It's tough on a family. In many respects, tough on my children. I'm sure they got some abuse because teachers didn't like some of the things I did. Right. And I don't recall whether I mentioned it in the tape earlier, but Suzanne was taking some oceanography at Clatsop Community College, and somebody called and said their son was applying, and you know, I was asking for favors, and I said, I'm not looking for extra, you know, special treatment. I want equal treatment for my children. Mm-hmm. She should not get the job because I'm governor. She should get on her own. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure they got a little abuse and maybe more attention because they were senators' children and then finally governor's children. It's tough on them, and I appreciate that. But if you've got a few more minutes, I'll tell you that in terms of the process, it was...